Also, at this time, the devil tempts the soul to return to its former ways, go backwards. You don't have to be this fervent. You don't have to be a fanatic after all. Just be a decent Christian like everybody else. Live a normal life. Just go to church on Sunday. You don't have to be going every day. You don't have to be going to adoration. Just, you know, be a normal Catholic. And the devil tempts the soul to go backwards, to give up. And it uses thoughts of false humility to do so. False humility is big time in the second mansion. And it works against us. Saint Teresa talks a lot about false humility. The enemy can even be as audacious and cruel as to say, as the accuser, you can't do it. You'll never make it. You'll never be free. You really belong to me. This whole religious thing is just a phase. Give it up. That's very real. In fact, St. Teresa's only chapter on the second mansion, according to the translation of Alison Pierce, this chapter of second mansion is entitled one by one word, war. And this is the reason why you can see so many people who are quote-unquote born again go backwards after they're high in the honeymoon or the jailhouse, what's it called, jailhouse religion or Christian. You know, when things are tough and you're in jail and you come to know the Lord, and a lot of people in that system, you know, they kind of don't take it too seriously because, well, now that you're locked up, you don't got anything better to do. Now you're all religious and God has cleaned up your act, and yes. And then shortly afterwards, as soon as you go back into the lifestyle of the spirit of the world, right back to your old ways again. And it's not necessarily because of insincerity, it's because the battle is strong at this stage. There's a lot coming against people. And the longer we were away from the Lord, and to try to come back and stay with the Lord, ooh la la. Get ready to throw down. Get ready for battle. Oh yeah, the longer we're away, the bigger the battle's going to be to stay on the way. Part of this battle is simply battling against old weeds in our lives. We got to destroy the weed while it's still a seed. First moment it comes up in your thoughts, eradicate it, renounce it in Jesus' name. Do not entertain it. First moment you notice that weed pop up, renounce it while it's still a seed, because the more that weed grows, the more it takes root and the harder it is to get rid of. Destroy the weed while it's still a seed. We battle old weeds and thorns that try to return to the surface. We battle to overcome battly acquired inclinations and habits of disorder or negative forms of reacting to stress and crisis, or when things don't go our way, or when we're not acknowledged, or when we feel abandoned. The lower faculties of the soul, what's called the psyche, the emotions, the thoughts, processes, all that kind of stuff, the imagination, starts to be attracted again to the things left behind for God. Now that I'm going through this battle, I'm not feeling closeness to God and the comfort of what it means to be faithful and to belong to God, now I start to get weak and my flesh starts to dominate, and I have these inclinations to go to take refuge in the things of the world. When experiencing spiritual consolation, the soul doesn't have any attraction to the things of the world. It's rubbish. Easy to give up. No problem. As long as God is offering something better. As long as God is offering something better. The moment he hides his face, St. John of the Cross speaks of the metaphor of God putting, as it were, I can't remember the exact words in Spanish, but something like spice on the breast of a child breastfeeding. And in order to wean the child off of the breast, God, as it were, puts a spice, as it were, on the breast to make the child detach itself from these immediate sense consolations that keep us in an infant stage and to prepare us to be able to eat the meat and not rely on Gerber, the baby food. Is that what it's called, Gerber? The gerbil. Yeah, Gerber. And in this, at this time, the old self tries to regain lost ground. The old self tries to regain lost ground. Ooh, the battle can be fierce. Very fierce. The ascetical challenge here, in terms of how we respond to this battle, the ascetical challenge to how to respond to the battle is mortification, self-denial of the appetites. To die to this false self by deliberate actions and choices that kills the false self, as it were. That subjects, another way of saying it maybe, subjects the body to the spirit, but that can be misinterpreted. It subjects the ego to the gospel. And so there's certain choices, voluntary mortifications that a person adopts in order to click a definitive decision in saying to all of those temptations and all of those spiritual enemies, no, 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 I am not going backwards. You will not have me back. It's over. The divorce has been signed, sealed, and delivered. To die to sin, Father Gary Gulagrange speaks of, to die to sin and to the relics that sin leaves in us. I like that expression, dying to the relics that sin leaves in us. In other words, we're no longer doing the bad stuff that we did, but we're kind of proud of where we've been. And the different ways that that can show itself. Part of this asceticism is disciplining, laboring, and ordering, cultivating virtues in our lower faculties. When these scholastic writers, the classic tradition, talk about lower faculties, I understand that. I don't know if I'm right, but it seems like they're talking about the psyche, the immediate inclinations of the emotions and the immediate surface reactions of the will and the desires, the soul, as St. Paul refers that as distinct from the spirit. And in this process, we need to accept the growing pains of what it means to die to our false selves. If we don't accept the growing pains, we'll never experience the new creation. We'll never experience the new birth on a deeper level. There's going to be inevitable growing pains to what it means to be in Christ. Jesus says, "Unless if you want to be my disciple, pick up your cross and follow me." That means there's going to be growing pains. It's unavoidable. The action of God here are sensible consolations, where a person really experiences on the surface level of the soul, that's why it's called sensible, based on what can be perceived by the senses and what comes to the soul through the senses. There's this real sense for the first time of God's presence. First time you're experiencing God's presence in what seems to be a palpable way to your senses. And also, on the other side, aridities. There's a new type of trial that one goes through. This vigorous and at times painful effort is to be sustained by spiritual reading, is really important in the second mansion. Spiritual reading, as the rule of St. Albert from the Carmelite family says, holy meditation will save you. You've all probably had that experience where you were like going through this kind of valley of obscurity, not knowing exactly if you were up or down or what was going on, and weren't able to pray. Then all of a sudden, almost as if it fell into your lap, but somehow you opened up to some particular passage and it just totally encouraged you. It was just what the doctor ordered. It spoke straight to my heart, and only God knew how perfect of a match and a fit this was. These are just the words that I needed to hear. And it's a proof. You feel that, don't you? Oh, yeah. It was a proof that that when I thought that I was walking by myself and it was all in vain and God did not know my name, he forgot all about me, now this is showing very clearly God knows me thoroughly and he's right here beside me. Because these words speak so strong to exactly what I needed to hear. There's no way that person knew, or there's no way that I just stumbled across this. It's perfectly prescribed by the divine physician to bring courage to my soul. Spiritual reading, holy meditation will save you. Direction, getting some spiritual direction by someone, doesn't necessarily have to be a priest. It's just somebody that you trust, that you know has been on the road longer than you and has a good sense, some decent sense of discernment. Not thinking on worldly terms to make a sense of your experience, but on godly terms based on what they themselves have experienced and been through. A person that is walking with the Lord. Doesn't have to be a priest. And spiritual friendships. Spiritual friendships are important to keep us on track, to keep us going. The gift of the Spirit here, when in the first mansion it was fear of the Lord, now in the second mansion, it's the primary gift of the Spirit that's growing in us is piety, reverence, a love for the things of God, a personal love for the things of God.